Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to Patriots 4th and 2, the official podcast of PatsFans.com.
And welcome to another episode of Patriots 4th and 2. I am your host today, Derek Havens, and joining me as always is my co-host, Mr. Steve Balsgero. We are both PatsFans.com bloggers. Our third co-host, Russ Goldman, is off for the summer. He'll be back probably periodically, I'm sure, to give some hot takes. Him and I can argue and pull each other's hair. But for now, it's just Steve and Derek, just like last year. It's about draft season. This is where usually Russ kind of kicks his feet up. And Steve and I go to work for what we just love, this draft time period. Now, we're going to get into our regular prospect breakdown like we've been doing the last few years, kind of going position by position next week. Today, we have a ton of things to talk about. We got all the Patriots transactions, a lot of news around the league, and some interesting topics to discuss. Steve, before we get started, how are you doing today, man?
I'm doing well. I mean, you know, it's been an interesting free agency period. Then we had the news of Dont'a Hightower today.
Yep.
But I think, you know, this is always an interesting time of year. And of course, the Patriots are the subject of everyone's free agents. So,
sure.
You know, it always seems that way, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, I mean, you just mentioned it, like, we are recording this March 21st at 12:08 Eastern time. And we just got the news this morning, and let's start out with it. You know, Dont'a Hightower sat out last season. We all kind of figured that he was retired. He makes it official this morning, Steve. And if you don't mind, I'll just quickly just share my thoughts. I feel like, you know, one of the best draft picks of Bill Belichick's career. He totally lived up to the first round hype. You know, he was able to, you know, play all over the field, be a leader on the field, always seems like he put the work in, smart player, instinctive. And we were talking about this right before the show began. You know, you could make the argument the Patriots don't win two or three of their, you know, last few Super Bowls without him. I mean, huge plays, whether that's a strip sack against Matt Ryan, whether that's the stop against Marshawn Lynch before Russell Wilson throws it to Malcolm Butler. I mean, you know, as you mentioned, to your credit, the two really valuable sacks versus the Rams. I mean, he was just a player that was always seemed to make the right play at the right time, Steve. And what a career. Just absolutely, you know, incredible. And it's happy. But it's also a little sad because you've seen Devin McCourty now retire. Obviously, Brady left a while ago. Julian Edelman's gone. You know, Rob Gronkowski's gone. Like, you know, Matthew Slater's probably on his last year. It just seems like that chapter of players is, you know, basically over now. And I'm not breaking any news to anybody else, but it does kind of feel like it's just a different era now, Steve, like a page is turned with yet another one of these players from that second kind of, you know, dynastic run, you know, walking away. But again, congrats to Hightower. Steve, give me your thoughts.
Yeah. I think you hit the nail right on the head. I think he was one of Belichick's best draft choices.
Definitely.
And he fit what they needed him to do perfectly. I think he was a cornerstone of that second, you know, dynasty of theirs where they won three Super Bowls. And, you know, he always saved his best, I believe, for the, you know, biggest moments. And you mentioned the three Super Bowl wins. You know, he was just dominant when the Patriots really needed him to be. And he may not be a Canton Hall of Fame football player, but he was definitely a Patriots Hall of Fame player.
No doubt.
I mean, he did everything they needed him to do and more. He was a leader on and off the field. And, you know, in that aspect, he reminds me a lot of Willie McGinnis, who, you know, always saved his best for the big, you know, the big moments. And, you know, what a fantastic career he had. And, you know, hats off to him. It is kind of bittersweet to see him announce his retirement, although we kind of knew it was coming. I mean, yeah. Last year we really knew that was happening. But at the same time, you know, you can't help but marvel at the career he had. And, you know, he was a very, very popular guy in the locker room. He was very well respected. And, you know, Belichick called him Mr. February. That's pretty did. High praise right there.
You know, I just, it's interesting to me about the timing. I don't know why he took a year off before. Maybe he just wanted to be really, really sure. And he felt like, hey, you know, Bill, I'm going to take a year off. I'm going to spend some time with my family. And I want to see if I have the itch to come back or not. That's probably how it went down. I'm sure Bill would have loved to have him last year, but you know, how can you argue with someone who's been just so productive with everything he's done in his career, right? I mean, do you remember, I want to move on to the Patriots transactions, but one of my favorite memories of Dont'a Hightower is the first game he played. And it's against the Tennessee Titans. And, you know, don't forget that they drafted Dont'a Hightower, but they traded back. They had two picks. They traded back up for Chandler Jones. And they're playing against the Tennessee Titans. They're on, you know, I think they're within the inside the five-yard line. The Titans own a five-yard line. Titans are on offense. Chandler Jones comes around, strip sack, and Hightower picks it up, touchdown. It was just like you just knew instantly that these two players were going to be really good hits for the team. And that was a very, very cool moment. But again, congrats to Dont'a Hightower. Awesome career. We will certainly miss him, but we'll see him in a red jacket down the road. Steve.
Yeah, he was actually one of the few first round picks that I got right in my mock drafts. I had the Patriots picking him. So,
Oh yeah. We have been pretty good over the years. You can check the receipts. They're all online, but that's one that definitely is on the hit category. No doubt. Just want to stop real quick and say again, I'm Derek Havens. We got Steve Balestieri. We're both PatsFans.com bloggers. Please check out PatsFans.com. Ian Logue does great work. And please subscribe on YouTube and Apple Podcasts. It helps other Patriots fans find us. All right, Steve, back into the Patriots transactions here. So we have a ton to talk about. And I had a list. If you want to check your DM, Steve, I just sent you a list of everything to talk about. All right, so we're going to start with the additions. All right, so first of all, additions so far. We got Juju Smith-Schuster. We got Calvin Anderson, Riley Reiff, both up at the tackles. All right, we got James Robinson, the running back, Mike Gesicki, the tight end, and we got Chris Board, the special teams linebacker that Bill Belichick absolutely loves. Your choice, where you want to start.
Let's start right at the beginning. The first guy they signed, Anderson, Calvin Anderson.
Yep.
I think that was a position in need. You know, they know they needed to upgrade, excuse me, at tackle, and they started with him. And he's got some upside. I don't know if he's going to be a starter with the Patriots, but at the same time, he did start 7 games last year. So, I mean, he has you know, he has the potential to be a starter. Whether or not he will be, I don't know, but he would make a very good swing tackle if he does not.
Yeah, and you know, I thought this was interesting. So you have Trent Brown on the roster, who is hot and cold, a little unreliable. Connor McDermott, who they are bringing back as well, who I thought was good, not great. You know, he was fine. Probably was their best right tackle last year. Then you add Riley Reiff, solid veteran. I wouldn't write home about him, but I mean, solid veteran right tackle. You have Calvin Anderson, right tackle. To me, Steve, what I see right now is them doing a lot of depth. There's no long-term answer here, okay? And so I would really, really bet they are going, you know, off to tackle early in this draft, first or second round, based on these moves. But it makes sense. I mean, hey, we're probably gonna take a tackle, but let's make sure we have a veteran like Calvin Anderson, someone who started some games. At, you know, in case with the rookies, we don't feel like he's ready to step in from day one, we can work him in slowly as a swing tackle, etc. You know, whatever it is, an extra sixth man. I could see a situation like that unfolding, Steve. You know, and so that would be interesting. And then we switch over to Juju Smith-Schuster, and you know, Jacoby Myers goes to the Raiders. The money is basically the exact same. Juju comes in, certainly a player that Bill has admired in the past. I would say he's been a very productive guy. The biggest thing I've been shocked about, Steve, is the fact that the money was the same with Jacoby Myers, and they thought Juju was a better fit. I think that's fascinating. I feel as though Jacoby, if this was a Patriots decision, not a Jacoby decision, I say that only because of Jacoby Myers' tweet in full transparency. As soon as the deal was announced with Juju and the money was released, he retweeted it and said, "Cold world, LOL." And I feel like he wouldn't say that if he wasn't like, "Well, damn, you picked him over me. Like, I would have liked to be here." That's how I interpreted that. You know, Steve, I'm not sure how big of an upgrade it is. I would say Juju's a hair better. But Myers, to me, was also someone who could be a leader in this locker room and someone who Mac really liked, and you kind of knew what you had. I think this is a little bit of a risk, Steve, but I do think that Juju is a hair better than he is.
Yeah, I mean, it is a little bit of a risk because you don't know how well he'll fit in
yep.
with the Patriots offense. And that to me is the only caveat to this, because I do think he's better than Jacoby, and I'm not taking anything away from Jacoby. I think he was a fantastic player for the Patriots. But the one thing the Patriots lack is, you know, guys who can make yards after the catch. I mean, they just don't have that. And Juju's a guy that brings that, you know, and I think that was the defining reason why they went with him rather than Jacoby. And I think, you know, in that aspect, I mean, he had almost 1,500 yards with the Steelers a couple of years ago, and he had almost 1,000 last year. I think it was 938, something like that. So, I mean, he's been a productive guy, and there's no reason to assume that he wouldn't be productive here in New England. I think that's why they brought him on, and the fact that, you know, he's more of a dynamic kind of guy. He's going to catch the ball and do something with it afterwards. So both of the guys are used similarly. You know, they're chain movers. He's not a deep threat kind of guy, just like really Jacoby isn't. But I think, you know, in the long run, they see more upside to his game than Jacoby can bring. And that was their, you know, that was their reason for going with him. And I'm actually excited to see it, you know, how it all works out with Bill O'Brien. But it was funny to me because a lot of the people, fans, media, both, that were, you know, poo-pooing this signing as, oh, it was, you know, even, they were the same people a few years ago were like, why can't the Patriots develop a guy like this? You know, when he was with Pittsburgh, I remember there was so many tweets about that. Why can't
well, it's the same. It's the same people who are complaining about all the special teams players being signed, right. but don't remember that the Patriots let up two kickoff returns and yeah. Which got them eliminated from the playoffs. But you know who cares? They were only last in the NFL in special teams DVOA yeah. last year. But you know what the F? You know it's like okay, yeah. I mean, it's just it. I mean the hypocrisy and the you know, it's
oh just my god,
ridiculous. Anyways, let's move on. So the Patriots. There was something that was painful last night, Steve. Not going to lie. This one hit hard. And I think it's a great fit for the player and for the team who we signed with. But I think it's a real kick in the balls for the Patriots. That's Damian Harris to the Bills. And the reason I bring that up is because the Patriots gave James Robinson a two-year contract and basically picked him over Damian Harris. I'll say this. I think James Robinson probably has a little bit better of hands. He's a little better of a receiving back, and I think he's better in pass protection than Damian Harris. But I don't. Again, it's one of those moves where it's similar to me in a different way. It's similar but different to the Myers and Juju situation, where I don't know if you're really improving. If you are, it's not by much. But you picked somebody from the outside instead of someone from the inside. I do understand that. You know, for this instance, Robinson, I do think is a better pass catching back. And that's probably something that Harris, I mean, he caught balls, but he never really was a comfortable, you know, receiving back. And that's really what they need for Stevenson to take the load off him a little bit. I mean, 290 touches for Stevenson last year. He's not going to hold up very long if you want to do that. So in his case, you know, you need to ramp him down to like 220 and give Robinson some of these carries and some touches so to preserve, you know, Stevenson for the whole season because he's so dynamic with the ball in his hands and he's so solid. So, and then the other thing I'll say is they trade Jonnu Smith out to Atlanta for a seventh round pick. They bring in Mike Gesicki, who to me, Steve, is a good, solid player, not a blocker.
No.
But... almost more of a slot receiver, like a, you know they call it the whole Daniel Jeremiah thing where they call it like a power slot where it's like a really big slot receiver, you know Gesicki's and Hunter Henry and Bill O'Brien's offense. I think you can utilize the two tight end passing and they have some real good size. If you go through Devontae Parker, Hunter Henry, I'm blanking out, of course, as soon as I start this. Juju Smith-Schuster, Mike Gesicki. I mean, you got guys who were 6'3 and up, and you have some good size out there on the field now. Give me your thoughts on both of these transactions.
Yeah, you know, with Robinson, he had the Achilles, and, you know, he wasn't 100% back last year from that injury. Excuse me. So he had kind of a down year, but, you know, when he was healthy his first 2 years before that injury, he was very productive for the Jaguars. And, you know, his rookie season, he caught 49 passes. So, I mean, he brings that element. You know, hopefully this year he'll be completely back from that Achilles. That, again, that's the risk that you take in there. And like Damian Harris, when he was healthy, I mean, he was excellent, I thought. I mean, he was a really, really good back. He had great vision. You know, I go back to that touchdown against Buffalo in the, you know, the Hurricane game there, you know, 2 years ago. I mean, that play there was, I think it was all on him. You know, you go back to that, he just made a dynamic cut. He had everyone on the defense going the one way. I think he's going to be a great pickup for Buffalo if he can stay healthy. Now, with him, it wasn't one big thing. It was just a myriad of small things that always kept him out. And that's the only caveat with him. So, you know, I think both teams – they're taking a risk there, but I think both teams could really benefit if both of these guys can stay healthy this year. I think he's exactly what Buffalo needs because they need to take the pressure off Josh Allen being the leading rusher, and he can be that. And they have a good offensive line. Now with Gesicki, I really like this pickup because I liked him coming out of college. Yes, he is not a blocker, but he's a very big 6'6". You know, he's kind of more wide receiver. Bill Belichick even said that about him. You know, I think it was last December. It might have been the year before, but, you know, when they were facing Miami. You know, he presents a big target. He's a really good red zone threat. I like the fact that they picked him up because I think he can be a really good fit in this offense. And, you know, we'll have to see how it all works out. But again, on paper, I like all of these moves.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, we still got a good amount to go through, so we'll keep it going. You know, Matthew Slater returning. We mentioned McDermott. James Ferentz is back, but I feel like he's just never going to leave, Steve. I think he has tenure now with the Patriots. You know, Raekwon McMillan comes back. John Jones. We got Carl Davis, Jabril Peppers, Mack Wilson. Joe Cardona got paid, is now the highest paid long snapper, which I know between a certain 2-6 host had a problem with. I could care less. It's not my money. Daniel Aquali is back. Cody Davis is back, which I love. Devin McCourty breaking the news on that. So those are the players who are back. I'll tell you, love the fact that Jabril Peppers is back. We talked about it on last week's show. I just think that he really came on. He's a solid player. Not surprised at all Bill wants him back. He's right up his alley. Great athlete, instinctive, and can play multiple positions. Seems like he has a good attitude, brings some fire. I just love what he brings to the table. You know, honestly, you know, I think we've talked about some of these guys, Steve, but is there anything particular of the guys I mentioned you want to mention?
Well, I think that, you know, when it comes to Matthew Slater, you know, he's a great player on and off the field. You know, he brings that leadership to the team, and he's a great locker room presence. And I think the team would be glad to have him for one more year. And I think, you know, with the way special teams struggled last year, that I think that ultimately wasn't the way that Slater wanted to go out.
Yeah.
So I think that might have been a big factor in that. Plus the fact they get Cody Davis back, you know, I think that's a big pickup for special teams. You mentioned Chris Board earlier. You know, yeah. Belichick called him the best special teams player we will face this year.
Yep. And he did. Some people were asking me if they think he can play a linebacker. He played some snaps and had a couple of decent reps, but I would say the large majority were in garbage time. He's a backup linebacker, but he's a core special teamer. So, you know, and they, you know, between Mack Wilson, between Cody Davis, Miles Bryant, you know, obviously Chris Board, you know, just go through
Brendan
the list.
Schooler.
Brendan Schooler, of course, like, you know, they have some pretty good special teamers now. Again, I know people get annoyed with it. It's one of the – I'll say this about special teams. You know, people will – people who, you know, want to dump on special teams, I get it. You know, it is annoying when there's a lot of assets being thrown at it. It's not – special teams is not a problem until it is. And you saw it last year with the Patriots – it broke down multiple of their games. And, you know, it's important to have good depth guys and, you know, good guys that can be versatile and have some versatility there. You know, Schooler, Slater, Davis, Ford, that's a really, really solid core four. I mean, geez, that's really good. So the Patriots were really bad last year in that area. And some can point to Cam Accord on the coaching staff. I certainly would. I think he's, you know, horrible, but Bill's, you know, Bill apparently is going to hold on to him. So we're going to live with it for now. I don't know if we have any other choice. We talked about the departures of Jacoby Myers and Damien Harris. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead. Sorry. What were you going to say? Oh, we might have lost Steve here for a second. Anyway, so we lost Jacoby Myers and Damian Harris. Devin McCourty retired. Dont'a Hightower retired. We talked about that. We talked about John Smith being traded. Jake Bailey went to the Miami Dolphins. They released him, and they released Brian Hoyer and Jalen Mills. The Jalen Mills thing was only a little surprising because they're just so thin at corner, and I thought he could potentially move back to safety. Apparently, they feel like they want to move in a different direction, and I'm expecting them to add a third quarterback. I don't think they're going to go into a season with Mac Jones and Bailey Zappe as the only two guys. I just don't see that happening. If Mac was more established, then maybe, but not the way it's been the last 2 years. I would never believe that would be the case. Jake Bailey to me was, I'm shocked that he, I'm shocked that he was able to find a new job so quickly. And, you know, honestly, that is really puzzling just because, the last 2 years where he was so good 3 years ago, last year, horrible. And then this season, horrible and then hurt and then suspended by the team. Just a really weird, weird situation. So we will be taking a quick break right now. Hopefully we can get Steve back here or it's going to be a very boring solo show. I will just step aside real quickly and we will be right back.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And we are back here on Patriots 4th and 2. I am your host today, Derek Havens. Joining me is Steve Balestieri. Of course, he just dropped off the line. So we're going to apparently do a solo show. We're going to see how this goes here. I'm going to tell you right now that we want to get into a couple of league topics. So I'm going to start with this one. Could the Patriots pursue Lamar Jackson? To me, really, really interesting conversation. I'll first say this. I think that there's about a 2% chance of this happening. The Patriots would have to give up two first-round draft picks and then sign Lamar Jackson to a monster contract, probably in the neighborhood of $50 million per year and a ton of guarantees. I don't really know what the rub is for Baltimore. I don't know if it's their heels dug in about the guaranteed money because Lamar's holding out for money in terms of fully guaranteed, like Deshaun Watson. Oh, hey, we got Steve back here. All right, we got Steve back here.
Sorry about that.
Oh, you're good. I was just talking about Lamar Jackson. I was kind of okay. I took a break real quick and I was transitioning to some of our offseason topics. So I'm just talking about Lamar Jackson and I just don't know where the rub is with him in Baltimore. He doesn't have his own agent. Him and his mom work his contracts out with the Ravens. I think that there has been a precedent set by the owners that they really don't want to do what Jimmy Haslam gave to Deshaun Watson. I don't think there's any collusion necessarily. I just think it's a precedent that they kind of set. I am surprised, though, with how many quarterback-needy teams have – kind of said, no, we're good. And I don't, again, Steve, I when you were offline, I gave it probably like a 2% chance, but I do find it interesting that like random reports keep getting thrown out that maybe the Patriots could kick the tires. Two first rounders for a very good player isn't too much, Steve, but you do have to pay him. Give me your thoughts, Lamar Jackson of the Patriots.
Yeah, I don't give it a very high probability of happening, but I wouldn't put it completely out of the realm of possibility. The guy is an MVP, a prior MVP of the league. He's a dynamic player, as we saw last fall. Yep. I mean, he can run, he can throw. And if you look at Baltimore, other than Mark Andrews, they didn't have dynamic playmakers around him. I mean, I think he can be even better. It would be interesting if the Patriots felt the same way, but I don't know. We'll have to see how this all plays out. But right now, I don't give it a high probability of happening just because that, you know, they do have other holes to fill on the roster. And, you know, would they be willing to give up a first rounder this year and next? I'm not so sure.
But yeah, I mean, it'd be a really, really big move. I just think it's a franchise changing move. I mean, you're talking about draft capital, big contract, offense. You know, you're going to have to shift a little bit. I will say that Bill has kind of shown in the past. Chris Board comes to mind, Steve, who we just talked about. Players that give Bill trouble, he's interested in. He's like, okay, these guys, and Lamar has given the Patriots a ton of issues.
Oh yeah.
Okay. And look, has he been perfect? No. And did he miss a lot of games last year? Yes. I think he probably could have played some of them, but I think it was contract related, you know, but I just thought it was interesting. Joel Shapiro, checks in. The Jets should sign Lamar instead of Rodgers. I 100% agree. I think that would be a great move for the Jets. Him,
yes.
Breece Hall, the weapons they have around. He's got Conklin. He's got a great defense. That would be a cool fit for the Jets. I would hate to see that. But, Joel, that's a great comment. I totally, totally agree. All right, Steve, let's move on to another hot-button topic. Obviously, every single Patriots fan agrees with each other on this one. Should the Patriots trade for DeAndre Hopkins or Jerry Jeudy? And if not, should they sign Odell Beckham Jr.? To me, I've said this to you, I've said this before, I love DeAndre Hopkins. He's a really good player. This is not enough to get it done. I am standing firm on my hill. I am not giving up more than a third-round draft pick for DeAndre Hopkins. I will give a third and later picks. I'm not giving up a first or second-round draft pick in any draft for a 31-year-old receiver when this team is not a receiver away from winning. This team, I understand people are saying, well, if the Patriots gave a second for Mohamed Sanu, they certainly can for DeAndre Hopkins. It's not the same thing. You don't have Tom Brady. You're not a Super Bowl contender. It's not. You are not at that point. You are a young team that needs young assets, building blocks. You get those in the first or second round, or you should. And, you know, Jerry Jeudy, you could talk me into a second round draft pick. It came from Alabama, seems like a player that could play, you know, inside and do some nice things, kind of move around a little bit, can get some separation, is a little bit different for some of the guys that they have right now from a physical standpoint. Okay, you could talk me into that. But Steve, I'm really, really strong on this. Odell, I wouldn't be totally against. I know that this will just cause Russ to just rant later on Twitter. I wouldn't hate it, Russ. I wouldn't. Okay. He would be someone who's a little bit different. I think he showed something for the Rams last year that he still has something in the tank and they could use one more piece. And if they can't find it, he wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. I really don't think so. Steve, give me your thoughts.
Yeah. I'm in total agreement with you on Hopkins. I think Hopkins is outstanding.
Yeah. I love him.
But at this time and place, I don't think he's the right guy, if that makes any sense whatsoever. I think, you know, at this point, you're building up your team. You've put some nice pieces together. I think getting a fast young guy like Jerry Jeudy, you know, a guy who played in that Alabama offense, I believe he would have the opportunity to grow with Mac. Whereas I think Hopkins is more, you know, he's more of a 1 or 2 year rental at best. You know, I don't think they're going to keep him beyond that because of his salary. Now we all know that if they sign Jeudy, he's going to want to get paid himself. But yep. I think you have the opportunity to have more, I think, long-term success with him. And again, he brings that element of a dynamic playmaker. I mean, he's the kind of guy that can catch a 5 or 10 yard pass and take it to the house. I'd much rather go with him than Hopkins at this point. I mean, if they end up signing Hopkins or make a trade for him, I wouldn't think it's the end of the world by any means. The same with Odell, but I'd rather have Judy actually than either one of those guys.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah, no, I mean, I totally get it. I understand. I totally understand where Patriots fans come from when we're talking about these players. I do think that they need something. My whole thing is, and you can disagree with me. I just feel like they really need to get young assets. That's my whole thing. It's like, look, you know, if you want to give up a high draft pick for a player like a DeAndre Hopkins, that's fine. But you have to realize this is someone who's going to be here for a short term period of time. And I'm looking at it as I would rather draft a receiver in the first or second round than give up a high draft pick for a player who's only going to be here for a couple of years. I mean, you're talking about flipping a roster, getting younger. And this has been happening over the last couple of years. And it's going to take probably one or two more years. And if they make the right moves, they'll be back in contention. You know, but this is just not it's just not the time to give up a first or second rounder for Hopkins. You know, again, I don't know if a third gets it done. Arizona's asking prices for a second. Maybe they do a third and like a, you know, next year's like fourth or fifth or something. Okay, that's fine. If they want to do that, that's fine. If the Cardinals take it, great. I don't think the market for Hopkins is crazy high because it would have been done by now. It's been over a week. So I mean, I think that kind of speaks to it a little bit here. Let's move on, though, Steve. We have some division news. AFC Beast could get even stronger with Aaron Rodgers basically saying, I'm going to the Jets or I'm going to retire. The deal is not done yet. I think there's some haggling over compensation for the Jets and the Packers. It is fascinating, though, Steve. You know, last week was 15 years to the week that Brett Favre and the Packers split up. Now you have Aaron Rodgers saying basically he was 90% sure he was going to retire. He went on his darkness retreat. I still don't know what that means, but we'll put that to the side for an offseason topic. Then he says he wants to keep playing, but he doesn't want to keep playing for a team that doesn't want him. The Jets want him. He wants to be there. I think for the Jets, it certainly makes them a lot better. Probably for, I would say, maybe 2 years at the best. And I don't know. I mean, it's interesting, to say the least. I mean, that would be a very, very tough thing for the Patriots to handle, because if you had even competent quarterback play last year, Steve, for Patriots-Jets, I'm not sure you win those games, you know? And it would be a big shakeup. Your thoughts on Aaron Rodgers potentially going to the New York Jets?
Well, when it comes to Rodgers, I go to that old Latin verbiage there, caveat emptor, let the buyer beware. I mean, this is a guy that's all about himself and not about the team. You know, the Jets are banking on this is going to, you know, reignite his passion for the game and whatnot. I just see this move with him being 50-50. It's not going to be middle of the road. It's either going to be boom or bust. And I just think that, you know, he'll have a honeymoon phase with the New York media, and then it's just going to blow up. You know,
yep.
I just don't see this. If I was on the Jets, you know, beat or whatever, and the ownership, I'd be really wary of this. Yes, he's very, very talented. We all know this. But he's also all about himself, and he's not really so much about the team. And is he going to do the things that are necessary, you know, to build the team around him? Because now he's dealing with a lot of new players, a new system. I'm sure they'll incorporate a lot of what the Packers did. But you got to remember also, last year was the worst year of his career.
Yeah, so. No, definitely. And but Joel brings up something interesting, and Joel stepped up in the comments today, and he's got some good answers. So I'm gonna keep throwing him out there. Who has more pressure, Green Bay dealing him or the Jets trying to acquire him? And I think it's interesting because of the leverage play too. And it's funny depending on who you talk to, and you know you get different answers. I can see both sides. If Green Bay doesn't trade him, he says he's gonna retire. So you could get something. I don't know what it is. First round pick, probably not. Maybe a couple of seconds or a second and a third. You're going to get some good draft pick conversation or nothing. And the Jets, you know, it's like he said he wants to play for us. You know, it's like I can see a little bit of both sides. I think the Jets have more pressure to acquire him in my mind because what do they do if they don't get it?
That's it. And, you know, everyone's saying the pressure's on Green Bay. It's not. They have
Jordan Love. They have the guy that they want to try out.
Yes, they already have moved on from Rodgers. So they have their quarterback in place. The Jets, if they don't bring in Rodgers, then they have to make a, you know, fourth quarter push for Lamar Jackson, or their season is really hanging in the balance. I think, you know, that's a big thing right now. I mean, I think the pressure's all on the Jets. Green Bay might just dig in their heels. I think they're really sick of Rodgers, and that's why they moved on from him.
Yep.
And they can dangle this carrot there for as long as it takes before they make the move. Granted, like you said, you know, they're going to get some really good compensation out of it. But at the same time, the longer they wait, the more the Jets will have to pony up something else. Because, I mean, at this point, they can't go back to Zach Wilson.
Well, they can't go back to Zach Wilson. And the Packers know that. However, the Packers also have the draft coming up, and if you know you're going into the season with Jordan Love under center, you want draft capital and assets that are going to help you this year moving out of the Aaron Rodgers era, not wait until next year. So it's almost like a game of chicken, Steve. You know, it's like, and I don't know who's going to blink first. It seems like it's going to happen. I'll be shocked if it doesn't. I think it's going to be a total train wreck. I can't wait to watch. But I do think the Jets will be a better team. I've really liked how Joe Douglas has built that team. I think that they have done a nice job in the draft the last few years. And, you know, I respect that. But they have lacked the quarterback position. Rodgers, I think, will be an upgrade. I don't know by as much as some people think. Maybe he'll be actually motivated to try. It seems like he never even, like, cares to try. But maybe he'll be motivated, you know, coming out of this year because, you know, like you said, he's coming off the worst year of his career and he just has such a, I don't give a shit meter, you know, but it is what it is. Any final thoughts on this, Steve, before we go to the draft?
No, I really think that, you know, that this move isn't the slam dunk that especially Patriots fans, I've seen nothing but, you know, gloom and doom for New England if Rodgers goes to the Jets. Like, oh, they're last in the division, guaranteed. I don't think that's necessarily true. I don't. I mean, yeah, could it turn out that way? Could Rodgers, you know, reignite his career? Certainly. But is it going to happen? It's not a slam dunk.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's go to the draft. I totally agree with what you just said. But I do want to talk about the draft. I'll probably spend 15 minutes or so on this. I would say, for one, I'm very, very excited that we are in draft season. I am really, really looking forward to talking about some of these prospects. And I'll have to look at the timeline and we'll break down. I don't know how many positions we're going to do each week. But as I mentioned at the top of the show, we are going to do our traditional, you know, breakdown in terms of prospects, talk about some guys early, middle, and late at each position, some guys that we like. Steve, let's open it up with this. Who do you think in the first, you could call it one, two, three rounds, whatever you want to talk about, no pressure. What positions do you think the Patriots could be targeting right now as we stand here today on March 21st?
Well, I think if the draft happened tonight, I think it would be corner. Now, you could sell me on the idea of a stud, you know, offensive tackle. But you could also sell me on Bill going against the grain, as he normally does, and get a stud defensive player. You know, he's drafted a lot of defensive tackles early. So I think you could sell me on any of those. But I think if the draft happened tonight, they would be looking for one of the top cornerbacks. I think there's three right at the top of the draft. Yep. And if I think you can't go really wrong with any of those guys. And I think if one of those guys is available, they'd go with him.
I'm with you. I love Christian Gonzalez from Oregon, Devin Witherspoon from Illinois, and Joey Porter Jr. from was it Penn State? Pitt, I think, right? So I'll double check that. It's one of the P's. I really like all three of those guys. Daniel Jeremiah had his mock draft come out this morning. Had the Patriots taking Texas running back Bijan Robinson over Ohio State tackle
it was
Paris
State,
Johnson and over Broderick Jones, the tackle from Georgia. And I would hurl myself off my balcony because I think Bijan Robinson is a tremendous player. But the Patriots could not afford to take another running back in the first round over a tackle right now. Not in the position to do it. Not in the position to do it at all. Steve, like you, I think cornerback is right there. I mean, I think it's cornerback and tackle and receiver. You could sell me on any of those three. Cornerback and tackle to me are, as much as I think the Patriots need to add another receiver, cornerback and tackle are more urgent, in my opinion. Cornerback to me, probably the most. People think, you know, you drafted two corners last year, you just re-signed John Jones. Okay, who else do you got? You know, it's like you need, yeah, you know, to me, I would love for them to sign veteran cornerback Rock Ya-Sin and then draft Joey Porter Jr. And then all of a sudden you got Rock Ya-Sin, Joey Porter Jr., Jack Jones, you know, John Jones, and then you got Marcus Jones floating around, Miles Bryant floating around between like he normally does. I think that would be solid. I think you'd be good there. You have to build people. You have to build. It's not just two or three deep. You know, defensive backs, Steve, on every single roster the last 10 years, there's probably between cornerback and safety. How many guys are there? 10, 12? I mean, it's usually closer to 12. You know, so you need defensive backs. They do not have enough of them right now. And I think Jack Jones was up and down last year, had some good moments, got burned a few times, of course, like all rookie corners do. I think John Jones was, I know people give him a lot of crap because he got burned a couple times on the, but he was playing more outside than he should have been. He really should be playing inside. It really should be John Jones in the slot with Marcus Jones, you know, kind of as his backup or following the secondary slot guy when in the case. It really should be Jack Jones on one side and then another cornerback like a veteran or somebody on the other. They really do need to figure this situation out. And tackle, I would say the same way. You know, you got a lot of guys on short-term contracts, a lot of guys who are probably going to be gone. Like, I don't think Riley Reiff is hanging on for longer than a year or two. I don't think Trent Brown's hanging on much longer than this year. Connor McDermott is a nice little story, but I don't know if he's really more than someone who you should want as maybe an emergency player, you know, like a backup. I mean, tackle and cornerback are really big needs. So as much as you want that receiver, and I get it, I think you need to take a cornerback and a tackle in the first two rounds. And if you can hit on both of those, I think you'll be in really good shape.
Absolutely. You know, and when you look at the board, you know, it's all going to depend how it plays out. If one of the tackles is there and one of the corners are there, then you're in a pretty good dilemma there because who are you going to take? And I guess it'll depend on who the players are that are going to be there at 14. But I think you can make the argument going either direction with that. Like I said, if one of those three you know, corners are there. I like all three of them. I don't know if I like one more than any of the other two, because I think if they got any one of those three guys, we're talking Witherspoon, Gonzalez, and, you know, Joey Porter Jr., I'd be really happy with that. Witherspoon to me is like, he just reminds me of those great cornerbacks that you see. I don't know if he will be or not, but he just reminds me of those guys that you put him out there and you can just lock down that side with him. He has great coverage ability. And I like the other two guys, man. Porter has tremendous size.
Yeah.
So, and you know, as you said, Gonzalez, he might be probably the best player out of the three. I mean, you can make the argument for any of those guys. And of course, there's some great tackles coming up. I think as it stands right now, I think they'll go in that direction. Now, there's still plenty of free agency left.
Yep.
You know, we don't know if they're going to pick up another wide receiver or they're going to pick up a corner somewhere, you know, or another tackle. Who knows, you know?
Yeah, no, there is some time. Let me ask you this. Do you, and feel free to disagree. You and I hardly ever do, but if you do, please share your thoughts. Would you put any other position above it? I'm deeming it the big three in my mind, okay? Cornerback, tackle, receiver. Would you put any other position in above one of those?
I wouldn't put it above there, but you
okay,
also
so have let me ask you a follow-up question. If you don't think you put them above, what would be your next, what would be the next one?
Free safety.
Definitely. Free safety.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I really thought they were going to move Jalen Mills to that
right
position.
Yep.
You know, then it wasn't a position of need so much. I mean, yeah, I think you still have to draft a guy, but you can maybe take a guy later on and groom him for that position. Now I'm really curious of, you know, what their plan is for that. Are they going to draft a free safety or move one of their, you know, other safeties? I know, you know, Joshua Bledsoe, when he was at Missouri, played a lot of free safety. He seems more like an in-the-box kind of guy, but I don't know how the coaches feel.
I will say this. Evan Lazar for Patriots.com, I thought, had a really good point, kind of an interesting point yesterday, as he often does because he's a smart guy. But, you know, he said, I'm paraphrasing, but it's on his Twitter profile, basically something along the lines of, I know a lot of Patriots fans, you know, want the Patriots to take a cornerback in the first round, but traditionally Bill Belichick has had a lot of success taking defensive backs later. The highest cornerback Bill Belichick has ever drafted was Devin McCourty at 27, and the highest defensive back was Brandon Merriweather at 24. And I thought,
that's a really good point.
I think it's a good point. I don't want to argue with someone who's not here, and I wouldn't argue with Evan anyway on the point. I don't disagree with him. I would have to go back and look at how many times they've had an opportunity to draft this high during his tenure. I mean, it's certainly not a lot. You're talking about a handful of times, you know. But I would say maybe it's a little bit different now. Maybe not. I mean, they have certainly had a ton of success drafting cornerbacks, or even getting guys undrafted and developing them. It seems like they've done a good job with that position. You know, there's a lot of positions that people give them crap for. That's really not one that you can point fingers at. And I would say for, you know, the Patriots right now, you know, they could really, really benefit from another young corner. Again, I know that they just drafted two last year, but they need to continue to build that position. It's incredibly important. Your point on free safety is interesting. I did mention Jalen Mills. I thought he was going to move back there when you were frozen and dropped off and came back on. When I was running solo, I had mentioned that myself. And so that's interesting. I thought it was interesting having Devin McCourty share insight. Someone asked him if they thought, you know, they needed to you know, bring in somebody, and he thinks that they have the guys on the roster that can do that. He actually thinks that it could be to their benefit because everyone knew where he was going to be, and those other guys would move around a lot and bring something different to the table. I thought that was an interesting perspective. So I think Bill Belichick might have had his phone for that tweet, though, so I'm not sure. But, you know, as far as the rest of the draft goes, Steve, I don't know what positions we're going to start with next week, but I do want to talk about one other thing, too. And that would be tight end, which I think now is creeping into the put it on, you know, I not be shocked category anymore. You know, you have Hunter Henry, you have Mike Gesicki. Gesicki's on a 1-year deal. Hunter Henry has what this year? Just one more year left as well.
Yep.
So you have
they're two both tight free ends, agents next year. Yep.
Two tight ends that are going to be free agents next year. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked to I'd be actually surprised if they didn't take one probably in the third or fourth round at this point, Steve. What do you think?
I think that's definitely probably going to happen in the draft this year because with both of those guys, you know, possibly leaving next year, I mean, you have to build up something for next year, and why not bring in a young guy that can – you know, maybe this year they drafted like more of a blocking tight end where Henry and Gesicki aren't really known for their blocking. I mean, they'll get active, but they're not, that's not their strength. Their strengths are receiving. Yeah. So I think this year, maybe draft a guy who's more known as a, you know, a blocker. And then next year, depending on if they can keep either one of those guys, then you go for a guy that's going to be a receiver.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, yeah, I just think that's a need that has gotten a little sneaky here where you're – yeah, I'm not saying that, you know, Hunter Henry or Gesicki are going to be gone after this year, but they are going to be free agents, so it's something that you have to think about. And I do think there are more pressing needs. You know, that's a need a year from now. Mm-hmm. I do think there are more pressing needs currently, but I do think that it's something that Patriots fans should be, you know, keeping their eyes on a little bit. And absolutely. somewhere around the world, Claire Cooper just had her ears perk up because we mentioned the tight end. So what's up, Claire? Anyway, Steve, let's go final thoughts here. We're going to talk about more of the draft stuff next week. Give me final thoughts on today's show.
Yeah, I think that, you know, so far, I think in, you know, in free agency, I think they've done a really good job so far. I mean, they haven't overspent, but I think you can make the argument that they're better than they were when they finished the season in Buffalo. So, we'll have to see how it all plays out on the field. But I think on paper, they're a better team now. I like the moves that they make. You know, I agreed with dumping Jonnu Smith because they didn't utilize him.
Yeah, I mean, it was a failed experiment. There's no other way to put it.
Yeah, and I don't think it was so much on Jonnu as it was on the coaching staff that, you know, I mean – they only targeted him 38 times last year. So, you know, if you're not going to use the guy, then save the cap space and bring in another guy. And I like Gesicki and I like Juju. So I think those, you know, those two moves, yeah, you can make the argument either way. But at the same time, I think they're improvements on paper. Same with Robinson. I think, you know, all things being equal, if him and, you know, Damian Harris are both healthy next year, then I think that Robinson has the edge there.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, and I think Harris is going to do well with the Bills. I really do. I mean, that's a good player with him. They drafted James Cook last year as that more of a pass catching back. So that'll be good for Buffalo. Actually, speaking of Bills, Isaiah McKenzie, who I thought the Patriots could potentially be interested in, he's going to Indianapolis. So that just broke. Is that going to go? And the only reason I don't think that they were interested in McKenzie was because I think that they – I really think the receiver room actually is fine, but they are just the thing the Patriots offense is lacking right now is, you know, either a higher end receiver or a bigger time tight end. Like if you had a solid, really good quarterback play and a Rob Gronkowski at tight end, Steve, you know, with pieces they have around, you'd be in business. If you had, you know, even a Julian Edelman type, you know, or somebody, you know, a player who was just a cut above, I just think they have a lot of solid 2-3 kind of guys, you know, second, third option guys. I know Russ, again, he's going to tweet about this later. I'm not telling you, I'm arguing with Russ without him even being here. Russ, I'm not telling you that I don't understand your point about Mac Jones, but the offense needs it in order to take that next step. But they do have some good pieces, in the room right now, but I just think they need to add just a little something. And I think they will. I just have a hankering, Steve, that they are going to add something still. That would be my final thought. I wouldn't be surprised to see something coming down in the next few days.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. I mean, they still have some cap space, you know, whether that's going to be another receiver or a guy like the safety wrap that they had in for a visit.
I'm a little surprised that's waiting. The only I didn't mean to cut you off, but I'm a little surprised because Taylor Rapp is the kind of guy that I could see them. Really not a great in man coverage, but he's a really, really good zone player. Smart, versatile, has moved kind of all around. He's played Devin McCourty's position center field. He's an extremely good tackler. The reason I feel like he's waiting is because they probably gave him a number that he's hoping for more of. And so it's kind of just a waiting game from that standpoint. That would be my guess, Steve.
Yeah, because he's visited at least one other team I've seen.
Yeah.
Might have been two. So maybe he's just holding out to see how much, you know, he can get, which I don't blame him, you know.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Anyway, let's wrap this show up. It's been a fun hour. Again, I want to let everybody know that we are going to get into our draft preview, prospect review next week. We'll start with that. We'll go through positions. If you want to, please, our handles are on the screen right now here on YouTube. Please go ahead and give us a tweet. Send us some draft questions if you want to. Send them in. We'll answer them. We'll talk about it. We are open to it. I also want to say, again, thank you for everyone listening to Patriots 4th and 2. Again, Steve and I are both PatsFans.com bloggers. Subscribe to us on Apple, YouTube. Like, share, leave us a review. It helps other Patriots fans find us. I hope you all have a great week, and we will talk to you next Wednesday.